Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, I am excited about what we're doing today. Today, really, for me, I don't know, it's kind of a big deal because we're starting a series on the greatest commandment. And this first session is called Introducing the Command to Love God. But here's the reason this is a big deal, in my opinion. We've studied the greatest commandment before. We've done a one-off message. We've even done a three-part series before. We've never spent a season talking about the call to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the reason I think that that is invaluable and is so different than doing a couple of weeks in a row is to immerse a community in what the Bible identifies as the single most important message to the human race. For us to spend a season talking about, we've never done this before. This is exciting to me because I'm not a professional or a know-it-all on this subject. I want to grow in the greatest commandment. I want my heart to be more alive throughout this process. And I know how this works. If we'll give ourselves to some intentional time and give the Lord the ample opportunity, and we continue to keep our hearts before him in reach, we will actually grow in whatever it is that we pursue. And that works with anger and violence, and it also works with love and mercy. So I very much am excited that as a church, as a family, you heard even in the description of our small group structure, you know, this, that was in the earlier meeting. Well, Flossie said something brilliant in our earlier meeting about our small group leaders. She said, we're a family of families. We're, you know, this is a community where, yes, we all come together on Sunday mornings, but we're all in small groups throughout the week, meeting and talking. And for a family of families to go on a journey together for a season of time into the depths of the heart of God and what he identifies as his greatest desire, I am just excited. What will become of us? What if we take this seriously? What is going to happen to us over the course of these coming weeks? I am excited, and I'll tell you personally, I'm going to go after this. I am not going to just preach. I want this deeper in my life. And so I'm going to do my best to kind of hear the words I'm saying and then go, okay, Brad, don't just hear it, do it. Like, live it. Don't just preach it. Live it. So the opening charge here that I have for us as we enter into a season of the greatest commandment is don't leave the same as you came in. Decide to go after this and to get a hold of God's heart and to even see how that impacts our lives, lifestyle, decisions, thought processes, heart posture. Go after it. So what is the greatest commandment? Matthew 22, 36 through 38. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? What's the most important commandment in the law? If you're so smart, if you really are the Son of God and you think you know your stuff, what is the most stinking important thing in there? What's the greatest commandment? And Jesus replied, without batting an eye. I mean, he didn't even flinch. Instantly, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. Booyah, son. I'm sure that's what he said to the Pharisees. I'm confident it went just like that. Jesus is identifying what God thinks is the most important thing. And it's, to me, it's so beautiful that God's commentary on God, you know, Jesus is God. So Jesus is giving commentary on God. When asked, what does God think is most important? Jesus's commentary on God is, I'm so glad you asked. He wants love, but he wants all of it. Anything short of all is insufficient. He wants all of it. Guys, I don't think we could do better. Honestly, I'm thinking about as a pastor, as a person in this congregation, I don't think we could do better in any way, form, or fashion than to spend a season committed to the dialogue of the greatest commandment. I just don't know how we could come out better. I don't know what we could do, what we could invest in that would be a smarter use of our time, that would be a more soul-enriching, more foundational Christianity, more be all the you can be sort of a season than spending a season of time talking about the greatest commandment. This is going to be awesome. The benefits of making this a focus. If you choose, and we always have the opportunity to just come to the building and sit in a nice new chair. Thank you, Jesus, for the nice new chairs. We always have the opportunity to just sit. But why the heck would you do that? Engage in these messages and ask the Holy Spirit to give you more, that you would walk out fuller, clearer minded, more understanding of his heart, his affections. Let's spend a season like a sponge, soaking up the greatest commandment. Let's spend a season together where these messages, it's not just another Sunday morning, it's not just another, it's an opportunity to soak up what God identified as the single most important thing on planet Earth. Let's soak it up. And next week, soak up a little more. And the week after, soak up a little more. Let's soak up the greatest commandment. And I am excited about what the Lord is going to do with this. There's also a corporate blessing that rests on this. It's awesome the way that the Lord wired us to be a family, the body of Christ, the people of God, because we get more when we go someplace together. You have little insights. The Lord speaks to you. He gives you a dream, an encounter, highlights a Bible verse. And then because we dialogue and we see each other, we do connect times, we're in small groups and we see each other at the prayer room and you know we're doing life together, we get to glean from one another. So the corporate benefit here is actually exponentially higher than if you decided you were going to spend, you know, however many months studying the sermon, the greatest commandment on your own. If you decided I'm going to spend 3 months or 6 or 100 months, whatever, spending this time studying the greatest commandment and trying to get the greatest commandment in me, not just studying from a scholarly point of view, but studying your soul being a student of the greatest commandment. If you decided to do that on your own, you still wouldn't get as much as if we all do it together. So there is a corporate opportunity here, and that's the reason I'm excited, because I've never done this before. I've spent time on my own. I've spent time with a little thing here, did a three-part series, but I've never spent a season of time with a people going after the greatest commandment. What's going to happen? What might the Lord do when we give ourselves to what Jesus said, this is first, this is greatest? It's the most important. What about when we go after that together? And what if that go after that looks further, looks beyond? It's not just a teaching on Sunday mornings. What if it's actually a season of focus that's showing up at the dinner table, in the small group discussions, in the by and bys, in the way that we pray for each other, in the way that we share? What if it actually gets into the water and gets into the culture of who we are? Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. This is going to be the greatest thing ever. I want to invite you, I want to implore you, treat this sermon series different. Treat it different. Don't think of this as a teaching series. Think of this as a soaking series. You're soaking up, you're absorbing, and it's important that we absorb everything the Lord would give us. Think of this different. I mean, decide. Here's a little trick. You walk through the front doors on Sunday morning into this building. Decide, I'm not leaving here without greater clarity on the greatest commandment. I'm not leaving here without it. I'm going into that room, and as I worship, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to speak. As the message goes forth, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to speak. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to even highlight a verse or two that I can go and meditate on the way home or tomorrow or in the prayer room. Decide, just decide. Guys, there's nothing better to give your life to. There is nothing better to give focused attention to. So don't just come in the room and get taught at. Decide this series is going to be different for you. You're going to treat it different. You're going to decide to go after this, not as biblical instruction, but as a way to awaken your soul, as a way to get nourished and to figure out how to nourish yourself and to feast on the things that the Lord says are the most important, the aspects of loving him. Just decide it. I'll tell you what, if you decide it, you'll have it. And if you don't, you'll probably still get some of the scraps off the table. the heck do you want table scraps when there's a whole feast on that table? Why in the world would you settle for some crumbs and, you know, whatever little piece of pecan pie falls on the floor? Go after the whole meal. Like, let's do this together. Take it seriously. The more of you that take this seriously, the greater benefit it is for all the rest of us. The more of you that say, I'm doing it. I'm not going to just show up to church and hear the message. I'm going to go after the message. I'm going to go after the message during the message, after small groups. I'm going to dedicate my life this season to a season of the pursuit of the greatest commandment. If we'll do that together as a people, I just can't even imagine what the Lord will do in us. And it will be beautiful. It will be awesome. Well, it's going to require an intentional investment. And so just like we're going to make an intentional investment on Sunday mornings, we're going to spend a good number of weeks. I mean, we're going to be in this. We're going to make an investment as a church on Sunday mornings into the greatest commandment. It also requires a great investment from you, from us, families, individuals, into that, not just attendance, but going after it so that you can actually get out of it everything that the Lord wants. And I want to say it this way. We're going to take our time doing number one well. We're going to take our time, the number one commandment, the greatest commandment. We're going to take our time. I've never done this before. This is going to be really fun. Can you imagine doing a whole sermon series on one verse? What's the greatest commandment? To love God. We're going to do it. I mean, we're going to spend weeks and weeks on this thing. We're going to spend this time because we want to take our time so that we can actually absorb all that the Lord wants. And I want to encourage you to do that yourself. This commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, this is the priority of heaven. And it doesn't matter what the season is on planet Earth. I mean, when the Antichrist is doing his hoodoo-woodoo, it's still going to be the objective of heaven that the body of Christ be walking out and growing in the greatest commandment. This is the priority of heaven for every generation, every season of time. I want you to think about that. The priority of heaven. Heaven's smart, smarter than you and me. Heaven has purposes and objectives. Let the kingdom of heaven come. You want to know what the kingdom of heaven coming looks like in its most primary form? The people of God embracing the greatest commandment. That's really the single greatest expression or piece of the kingdom of God growing in the earth, the kingdom of God coming, his will being done, is the people of God embracing the greatest commandment. Guys, we have an incredible opportunity here because we're going to do it together, which helps with accountability. It helps with focus. It helps with reminder. I don't know about you. So many times there's stuff I want to do for the Lord and I just forget. I wanted that to become a part of my life, like for real. We spend a season together doing this. It's going to become a significant part of our life for real. And I want to encourage you to go on the journey. Let's do this thing. The priority of heaven. So what's the broad strokes of this? This is really the greatest commandment. If you just kind of need a definition that doesn't use all the words that are in the actual verse, you want a kind of a simple broad strokes definition, it's God calling humanity to love him. God calling humanity. Do you know that a lost person still has the exact same call from God? To love him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. They might be missing the mark by a long ways, but every person on the planet was created to love God this way. This is God calling out to humanity to love him. That's the greatest commandment. What kind of a God wants that? What kind of a person? How secure are you when somebody's like, hey, what do you want, you know, for your birthday? Love. I just want to be loved. Love by who? Everyone. I want everyone to love me. That is super secure, you know? That's who he is. He is expressing his greatest desire unashamedly. And he's also in so doing, communicating what he's like, how he is, what he's mostly thinking about, what he's mostly desiring, and how he's mostly perceiving you and me and life and the activities of man. He's mostly perceiving through this thing that he cares the most about. So there's a fourfold love commission, and we're going to spend a session on each of them. But to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And each one of those, actually, as we'll spend some time later, each one of those actually touches very different areas of our life, very different areas of the way that we invest ourselves in various spheres. So it's going to be fun to go on that journey of seeing what that looks like. I want to tell you that I believe, I mean, even in light of the most recent difficulties and turbulence in our nation, I believe the Lord wants this message so highlighted for the church in this generation. I mean, every generation, but I don't know, I just feel it. There's sometimes truth is truth and you know it's truth, but you're not feeling it. You still do it anyway because it's truth. But it sure is a lot of fun when you feel it. Like when it's truth and you're feeling it, you got a little bit of something on you. I am feeling the passion of the Lord for this message in this generation, a calling out to the church, turn to me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. A call from heaven to the church, give yourself to this thing. Give yourself to this desire. Give me what I want and I'll give you what you want. The delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. It's actually a hijack promise. Because if you delight yourself in the Lord, he changes the desires of your heart. And then he just can't stink and wait to give you whatever he put in there. When you delight in him, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you desires of your heart. Not run after all wickedness and rebellion. You can have everything you need, want everything you want. It's not what that verse says. It's about the delighting in the Lord. It's about loving the Lord our God with all our hearts and mind and strength. And then the promise that he'll come and he'll fulfill those desires in our heart. And I just want to tell you, the safest desire to be primary in your life is to want to love God because he said it's the greatest desire in his heart. I mean, think about that for a second. You can't do better than wanting from God what God wants from you. You can't do better. You can't be safer. You can't make any more sense in life and with your time and your energy than pursuing what God says he wants from you for you to want that same thing from him and to give him that thing that he wants. Oh, this is a beautiful way to live. This is a message that we, the church, need so badly, so desperately. Because the church that's walking in the greatest commandment, the individual that's walking in the greatest commandment, the family, the couple, the person that's walking the greatest commandment is fueled to do the rest of the Bible exceedingly better. The heart that's engaged in the commandment that's number one, the heart that's actually embracing and living in the greatest commandment is empowered to do the rest of it. The problem is actually when we get our focus on the rest of it and leave to the side what Jesus identified as greatest. We wind up imbalanced. You wind up frustrated. So I just want to invite us this morning, there's a good chance that a significant source of our frustration is actually we've prioritized incorrectly. If the greatest commandment is truly greatest in your heart, in your life, if it's truly greatest, so many other things will fall in place. But when you mess up the very first piece of the puzzle, it's like, you know, you're working on the puzzle and you actually grab a puzzle piece. It's not even on the board. You start with that. And you're like, how am I ever going to find another puzzle piece that fits with this one? You never will. You'll be frustrated indefinitely. When we start with a bad starting point, I mean, it's the start of the race. And the very first thing you do is trip over your feet and fall down. I mean, it's gonna be hard to win that race. Like, we want to get the first priority first in our hearts, in our lives. And then out of that, then so much overflow to help us to do so much else well and with a right spirit. So, this is gonna be an uplifting season. I mean, if we let it, if we actually jump in, if we don't just come to church, if we actually jump in and say, I want this. I want to grow in it. I want my heart to be engaged. If we actually jump in, this is going to be the most incredible season. We're going to be filled with expectation. We're going to be filled with joy. We're going to be filled with, I mean, who doesn't want to be a spongy sponge soaking up the love of God? This is going to be a sweet time. I mean, we can actually guarantee ourselves, not our circumstances. Who knows with those? Good Lord, help us. But we can guarantee our soul. We can guarantee what's going on inside. And we can actually guarantee an uplifting season if together we'll go on a journey to pursue what Jesus said is the most important thing. This needs to take precedence in our lives. The greatest commandment. I mean, I don't know if this is a new idea to you, but this was actually the designed intent from the day you got born again, from the day you gave your life to Jesus. And if you haven't given your life to Jesus yet, why the heck not? Start today. Tell him right now, Jesus, I want you, because I want to go on this journey of growing in the greatest commandment, of growing in love. And I recognize I got to start by loving you, and then I can get more of that love. So start now. Tell him right now, Lord, I want you. I need you right now. But from the day you got born again, the day you gave your life to Jesus, this was actually the intention for your life all along. So if you're like, well, man, this never really even heard about the greatest commandment. I've never really studied. I mean, I read it one time, but I don't know that I ever thought about it as like my life vision, my purpose, my calling, my primary. I never thought of this as like the main thing heaven cared about, the main thing on God's heart. I want to tell you, you missed it. It's okay. Let's just all jump in together. Jesus said it's first. Jesus said it's greatest. Jesus said this is what God wants. It's what he desires. Let's just go after it. And when we do, we actually operate according to divine intent. It's so tough to find fullness when we're operating outside of the divine intentions for our life. The starting point is the greatest commandment. This is actually the beginning. It's what God wants for us. So this needs to be a big deal. I want this to be a big deal in my life. I want you to think about this for a second. Think about this statement. I'm going to say it for me. And then you assess honestly with your own hearts how you would say it for you or where you're at on this. I want the greatest commandment to be a really big deal in my life. Just think about that. You're like, I don't know what you're talking about, man. Well, let's go on the journey and figure it out together. Yeah, I kind of want to. It sounds costly. I don't know. I don't know if I really want that. Do I want that? Yeah, I want that. I want it. I want for you to assess your own soul, to be able to say the statement and think about where you're at. I want the greatest commandment to be a really big deal in my life. Not in my theology, not in the sermon series I can check off, listen to it. I want the greatest commandment to be a really big deal in my life. Brad, what's going on in your life? Amongst other things, the greatest commandment. But no, I was asking for like an update, like how's your job or whatever, your family. Yeah, I'm giving you the update. The greatest commandment is a growing thing in my life. It's becoming bigger and bigger. It's mattering more and more. It's taking more of my time and my thoughts and my emotions. I personally want the greatest commandment to be a big deal in my life. And I think you do too. And hopefully as we go on this journey together, we'll be empowered to be able to do it better. I believe that. I believe it. I believe if we'll spend this season, we'll actually grow in this thing. Each of us at the end of the season, if we're intentional. Now, if you're not intentional, you know how life is. Every now and then you win the lottery, but probably not unless you played. So every now and then you get a little here and a little there, but if we're intentional, if we go after this thing at the end of this time, this season, when we say the statement, I want the greatest commandment to be a big deal in my life, it will be far truer than it is now. We'll feel it more. We'll have some experience in it. We'll even know what that means and how that fleshes out in a greater way. And I want that. All right. Well, let's talk about what God wants. God wants us to love him. He's looking for those that will love him in this way. to love him with all his heart, all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's so awesome and humbling and exciting and non-religious. It is such a non-religious thing that God would want us to love him. That's like, that is not going to church. That is a very different thought process about life. God, what do you want? I want my people to love me, like really love me with all that they've got. This is what God wants. He's looking for it. Let me give you a couple of verses that talk about the same idea. 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Fully committed to him. That sounds like all committed to him. Committed to him how? Love. Those who love him with all their hearts and mind and strength. God is looking. Can you check this out? He's looking. He's searching. Because it's rare. Because it's not readily found in every heart at all moments of the day. He's looking. His eyes. Don't you want to be the thing that his eyes find? I mean, can you even fathom that God goes out on an Easter egg hunt? I mean, he's looking, he's searching. He's actually got to look for it. He's looking under stuff. He's like, there's one in there. Are they over there? Is it in that family? He's looking, his eyes are ranging. What's he ranging for? That burning heart. That burning heart. He's ranging. His eyes are looking for those that are fully committed to him. I just want to be one. I want to be one. I want him to find me. Don't you want him to find you that way? I mean, don't you want to be one who heaven esteems and says, there's one whose heart is fully committed to the Father. His eyes found him. His eyes found that one. He found her. Tucked away. No one knew her. No one knew her story. But God knows her. She's one who's fully committed to him. Whatever else gets said about you is poo-poo by comparison to that. When God finds you that way, what else matters? I won the Nobel Peace Prize. Who cares? God found me as one whose heart was fully committed to him. Nobel Peace Prize. Do you know how many people have won that over the years? I don't know how many people won that. But very few have been found as those whose hearts were fully committed to him. And he's looking for it. You can get the applause of man or you can get the applause of God. I want the applause of the Father. And not so that I can have some trophy or award, so I can have his pleasure and I can feel it. Look at this verse in John 4:23. A time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. They are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. He's seeking. There it is again. He's seeking. He's panning. He's ranging. Seeking those whose hearts are fully devoted. The true worshipers that love him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. This needs to become your life vision. It's better than whatever career choice you hope works out. It's better than whatever family ambitions you have. It's better than every good thing this life can give you. Give yourself to the greatest commandment, to be one who the Lord is searching for and finds. Oh, Holy Spirit, challenge us right now. Holy Spirit, challenge us. Give us right now sweet conviction. Speak to us. Holy Spirit, come. Speak to us. Speak to us about where we're at in this and where we could be. Where we could be. I pray, paint a picture for us. Give us a vision of a different version of ourselves, a self that's fully committed to the Lord, that's pursuing the greatest commandment. In weakness, not perfectly, but fully. Give each heart a burning passion this morning. We want to be those that love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. The passage in Mark, I read you the one in Matthew a minute ago, Matthew 22. And I don't know if you noticed, but it just said heart, soul, and mind. Well, Mark is quoting Jesus, and he adds strength. If we can put that verse up, if we can find it, Mark 12, 28 through 30. And one of the teachers of the law asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important one? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. I actually love that when Matthew quoted it, it was different than when Mark quoted it, because I think it actually puts even greater emphasis when Mark quotes it, because he's adding one. He's adding strength. And I'll tell you this, as we'll go on this journey, I kind of think with all our strength might even be the biggest. I mean, if it's not the biggest, it's not the smallest. I mean, it's a significant endeavor to use all your strength at whatever age you are and whatever level of strength you have, to love the Lord with all your strength. I think it actually emphasizes all the more the holistic nature of what God's after. He wants all. He wants love from us in every form, in all at its 100%, and to grow towards that and to get a vision for that. Oh, the Lord loves to set a high goal for us and then help us in the journey of pursuing that thing, of watching the weeks and the years go by and maturing in that area of our love and of our obedience. This is to be our greatest portion in life. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. Sometimes we think about our lot in life and what we were dealt. Well, I was born short. That was my lot in life. I wasn't tall. Well, I was born in this family situation. I was born in this situation. I don't have this IQ. I've got this IQ. We've all got a different portion in life, and it's scattered. There's lots of different ways that life can look. I think actually your single greatest portion is that what God desires from you and wants to give you is the greatest commandment in your life. I think it's actually far more defining about who you are than your height or your hair color. The greatest portion in life. If we start to think of it that way, I'll tell you what, a lot of these other things really fade into the back. A lot of other things become far less important. See, I think we've become wholly preoccupied with 10,000 lesser things. And what's really supposed to be the preoccupation is to love God with all. And the balance is, as we love him with all, we get to feel his love for us with all. You get to feel love. Until you're in a relationship with someone that you're, you know, hoping to become your spouse, you don't get to feel someone else's love on you in that way. It's why it's so fun, and you know, all the ones that are newly dating and courting or whatever, they're just goofy looking. They're Twitter-pated, for sure. Twitter-pated. There's this kind of air about them, because it feels good to be loved. It feels good. It feels good to give love. It feels good to be loved. It feels so good. And so when we give our love, when we pursue the greatest commandment, we actually get to feel God's love in a way that's far richer, far more day-to-day, far more real than simply his love for us from afar, but we're not actually pursuing that love. Because when we're engaged in that love relationship, it's two-way. And we actually get to feel his affections in a far greater manner. Part of the reason I want us to do this season together is I want to give each of us the opportunity to change our testimony in heaven. Each one of us, let's get serious. Each one of us are going to stand before the Lord. And I guarantee you, the most important question about our life is going to be, did you do the thing I told you was the single most important thing? Did you do it well? Or did you kind of know it was in there, but not really focus so much on it? I didn't do it so that you could come and stand before me and give a good testimony on this day. I did it for your good. It was actually so you could be all the you could be. I actually gave you that greatest commandment because I knew it was best for you, like way best for you, way better than all the other lovers, way better than all the other opportunities, all the other pursuits. I knew this would be best for you. But when we stand before him, think about this for a second. He's going to ask the question, and if it's not asked out loud, it's going to be asked so loud inside, it may as well have been asked out loud. Did you love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? It's what I told you was the single most important thing while you were human on the earth. How'd you do? It's terrifying. This is real. The question about how'd you do with that temporal assignment? Hey, Brad, did you do the prayer room well? That will be so second, third, 500th on the list. The first one is, did you love me? Were you a good dad? Were you a good mom? 100 down the list. Did you love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Did you even care about it? Did you pay attention to what I said was greatest, first, and most important? Or did you read those words and for whatever reason, busyness of life, decide something else was of a greater pursuit? Each of us are going to stand before the Lord and we're going to have to answer on this. I'm not so fearful of the judgment seat, like I'm going to get a bad report. I'm fearful of the regret I'm going to feel in my soul. I was only given one life on earth in a physical body to be able to love him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I squandered it on being an American. Blah! I mean, that's horrible. That's the worst thing ever. Like, you gave up the greatest commandment for being a good American? What the heck is wrong with you? Your priorities are whack, man. I don't want to stand before him with that. I want my heart to burn. I want my heart to burn. I want to feel alive. If I miss out on many other things in life, I want to love him. I want to feel his love. Don't be bad at this one. Be bad at a sport. Don't be bad at the greatest commandment. Be bad at something. Pick something else to be bad at. Be good. Be exceedingly good at the greatest commandment. Give a lifetime of investment into pursuing how to perfect the greatest commandment in your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're going to stand before him. I want to give us an early start. I want to give us a start now here in 2020 of changing the testimony. Because you know what? The default testimony is not going to be stellar. Remember, God's got to go a-looking to find anybody. Remember? He had to look. I mean, they weren't just laying around. They had to really search for them. So the default testimony is not going to be, Lobby, you did that whole greatest commandment thing really good. You did the whole love me with heart, soul, mind, and strength. You did it so good. That's not the default. The default is probably distraction even more than carnality. I mean, we all got our carnal stuff we're working through, but I think our distracted stuff is probably a bigger problem. Because truthfully, if we could get rid of the distracted stuff and we got focused on the greatest commandment, we'd deal with the carnality. I mean, the carnality would actually kind of start falling off. Like, that piece of cancer would just be falling off of us. We wouldn't even be giving any attention to it. I think we're too distracted. I think we're not mostly thinking about the greatest commandment as our purpose, as our destiny, as our life investment. But I think if we start, we can change the testimony. I think we can also change the destiny of our soul. I think we can change the amount of productiveness we are in the kingdom. I think we can change a lot of things by pursuing the greatest commandment. We were created for the greatest commandment. I want you to understand that. Most of humanity dies and did not fulfill the purpose for which they were created. Did not fulfill the purpose. Yes, the lost, but there are plenty of saved people. that did not pursue the greatest commandment, they missed the purpose of their existence. God created us in his image so that we would actually have the capacity to love him like he loves us. Do you get that? Squirrels aren't going to love him like he loves them, but humans can. Because we were created in his image. We have internal capacities. We have God stuff. We have the fingerprint of God. We were created in his image in order that we could love him the way that he loves us. This was what we were created for. It's the reason you're on the planet. No, I'm on the planet to be a computer engineer. No, you're not. You're created to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I was put here to be a lawyer. No, you can do all that all you want. You were put here to love him with everything. And if you become the best lawyer and you fail at the primary purpose, you'll have wasted your life. I care greatly about my assignments. Being the pastor here, I care about it. Being the director of the prayer room, I care about it, but not near as much as the greatest commandment. It's far more important. Because if someone takes my title or whatever, that doesn't affect the primary reason I'm on the planet. Do you understand that? Like whatever happens, good or bad, that doesn't touch primary. It only touches secondary or even lesser than that down the list. Nothing can touch primary purpose except you. You can touch primary purpose. Or we can choose through distraction to neglect it. And again, I just think that's probably more default if we're not careful. All right, I'm going to wrap up. I got so many. Good news is, I didn't even get done with half of these, so I got more for next week or something. Let me tell you this way. You're either growing or you're waning. Think about this for a second. Probably most of you have heard this message before. Somewhere, somehow, it was called something else, but you've heard it, many of you. And you were probably stirred because that's the intention of this message. Because it's the primary pursuit of being a human. Like, it's the purpose. So it's written into the DNA. It's kind of an easy, gimme, grab the heart's message. Because it is so innate to the human reality. It is so innate to being a created in God's image kind of a thing. Okay? This idea that when we say God's desire is that we would love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, there's something that the deep cries out to deep. And our hearts resonate. We go, that's right. That's true. There have been times past where you heard this message and probably it stirred you and probably you took steps, probably. But did you keep taking steps? Because here's what I found in my life, and I've witnessed it. I want to be very transparent. I've seen seasons where I was growing in the greatest commandment. I could feel it. Seasons where I was investing. And the only way to invest is to put something in that piggy bank. You got to spend a little bit of time and energy. I felt the blessing of that investment, but there's also been times where I could feel my heart fading from it. I don't mean I quit. I don't mean it was gone. I just mean I wasn't putting any more coins in the jar. And I could feel my heart fading. It didn't happen in a day or a week. It takes a little bit of time. I could feel my heart fading from the greatest commandment. See, because I think this subject is so near to God. It's so important to humanity. It's the kind of thing that always you're either growing or you're losing ground. There is no neutral. And what it requires, because the very mandate of the commission is all. So you can't be doing all and not make return. And you can't expect that if you're doing some, you're actually doing it at all. Because it's all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. All. And I have felt in my own life, and I just want to be that transparent so that you can see it for yourself and just push delete on whatever is behind you and start pressing on more, that this would be a season where together, for a season of time, Forerunner Fellowship as a family is going to go on the journey of pursuing the greatest commandment together, growing in this eternal reality.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.